If you have your Bible today, I want to turn to a familiar portion of Scripture today, what I've been looking at over the last several days. It's in the book of Psalms. I really am thankful that the good Lord led me to go this direction today, because this time of the year, it's very difficult to try to find something to preach that's not already been preached. You know what I mean? Or between myself and the Sunday school lessons and stuff. And I'm going to mention a few things there as well in a little bit. But a few days ago, I just feel like this little thought was put into my heart. And you'll follow along as we get into it today. But Psalm chapter number 98, verses 1 through 9. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. For he has done marvelous things. Can I get an amen? Amen? Sing unto the Lord a new song. For he hath done marvelous things. The birth of Jesus has enabled you and me today to become children of the Most High God. I would look at that as a marvelous thing. Can I get an amen in the house? His right hand, power and strength, if you look at that, and his holy arm hath gotten him victory. Say that word with me, victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation, his righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. Boy, this is shout material today, ain't it? How many of you knew this was in here? I mean, when I read it, it was like, oh my goodness. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth has seen the salvation of God. Verse 4 says, make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth, make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praises. Now, I don't know what you get out of that, but this is what I get out of it. Be so loud that everybody around you are going to know, or is going to know, why you're being loud. That you're giving God the praise. Somebody says, well, the earth gives God praise. The Bible talks about the trees clap their hands unto God. The Bible lets us know that everything that hath breath have been ordained of God to give God praise. We think about this. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise. Somebody says, well, I've never been able to sing all of my life. Well, make a loud noise then. Somebody said, well, God loves to hear the sparrow sing. Heard one man say, yeah, but he loves to hear that old crow squawk too. Rejoice and sing praise, the Bible says, and sing praise unto him. Verse 5 says, sing unto the Lord with a harp and with a harp and the voice of the psalm. With trumpets and the sound of the cornets, make a joyful noise unto the Lord the King. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof, and the world, and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together. Before the Lord he cometh to judge the earth. Of righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity. Father, I thank you, God, for this day. I thank you, God, that we can come here today and exalt your name. Regardless of what each person has been through today, I pray, oh God, that you, Lord, would be with us today. I pray, God, that you, Lord, in this service today, let us receive exactly that you and I would have us to receive. But more than anything, oh God, let us give you glory, let us give you praise, and let us give you honor, Father God, that is due your name. Father, we thank you, O God, even now. We thank you for the power of God. We thank you, O God, for your touch upon us today. And I thank you, God, for every person that is in this room today. May the Holy Spirit of God give us an overcoming victory today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. When you go through the 150 chapters of the Psalms, there is always a reoccurring theme that goes throughout all the Psalms. It is always one of praise and exaltation unto God. There are times that we read words like, give God the glory that is due His name. We sang about that this morning. We didn't even know what each other was going to be talking about today, and it happens gloriously today. But how many of you know today that there is only one that is worthy of all the praise, and that is Jesus Himself? When we think about this time of the year, we think about Christmas joy. Even though we realize and we know that it's very difficult this time of the year. There are times in all of our lives that we face adversity and much difficulty. And I heard somebody say the other day, I was reading through just a little quick statement that somebody had made on Facebook, that this time of the year is very stressful on a lot of people because each person brings different things to memory and different things to families. Some families are filled with joy. Other families get together. Other families do this. But this one particular person that was writing this said that this time of the year brings a lot of anxiety because everybody's life is not always as easy as it appears. But I begin to think about that statement, and I begin to think about what Jesus came to do for you. And I begin to think about what Jesus came to do for me. One writer said that happiness and joy are two ends of the spectrum. That when you think about happiness today, oftentimes happiness is based upon circumstances and situations that are around us. But joy is based upon the eternal truth of God's Word that we know in whom we have believed. Happiness is oftentimes based upon happenings in our lives. But again, when we begin to look at this particular psalm that I read to you, again, there was a reoccurring theme throughout this particular psalm. Several times you can read this as I go back and recap some of the things that's said there. We see the word again is used several times, and we see this in verse number 4. I believe it is there at the first one. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. And then we see it again as we look in verse number 8. Let the floods clap their hands and let the hills be joyful together. So there's a reoccurring theme that runs throughout the book of Psalms. And not only there in the Psalm chapter number 98, if you will, but in Psalm chapter number 95, we see this as well. And it opens up in Psalm 95 and 1, where the Bible begins to say these very words. Oh, come and let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. My question to you and my question to myself today is simply this. Has God done anything for anybody in this room? You see, if you woke up this morning and you were sucking air, God's already done a whole lot for you today. Amen? And we have a right to praise Him. Verse number 2 of this Psalm 95 says these very words. He said, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. So again, we see this as a reoccurring theme throughout this particular psalm. All throughout the psalm, Psalm 96 mentions this as well. Let the field be joyful in all that is therein, then all the trees and the wood rejoice. So we think about the psalm, about joyful moments. Why should we be joyful today? Well, a lot of things could go into that question today. A lot of things could go into that slot. But I think that he actually answers this, if we look at this, in the scripture of Psalm 98 and verse number 1. Because he says in this, he says his right hand, which talks about the power and strength of God, and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. I was thinking as I was writing this outline out, we sing the song, "O Victory in Jesus." One of my favorite songs in the hymn book, page 120. "O Victory in Jesus." Have you got victory today? If you don't have victory, you're in the right place. You know, there are those in the Bible that were faced with great trial and great problems, much like we are today, but maybe in a different way. There are those that had situations in front of them, and primarily we look at the children of Israel where God had promised them victory. Can I just tell you this? You may not be exactly feeling victory today, but the victory's already ours. Terry King reminds me oftentimes in text messages that, hey, we've read the back of the book. We know the back of the book. We know that we win. Come on, somebody. Help the preacher preach today. We win this thing. We may be in the battle of our life right now, but we win this thing. And it talks about in the Scripture, "But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ." I think about Israel and the complexity of everything that Israel went through. I think about the difficulty of Israel. But you know, God had made them a promise. The promises of God are yea and amen. So real quickly, I began to think about those that had great victory in the Scripture. The first place I began to think about when God had promised Israel the promised land. And they went over and they went across the river, and the first thing they begin to do, they begin to deal with this land called Jericho. Maybe you and maybe me were dealing with a Jericho. Maybe there's things in your life that seemed in your life right now that it's a Jericho moment. But can I tell you, I confess it and I walk in it, and I'm staking my claim that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all and more than I could ever ask or think, because greater is He that's within you than he that's in the world. And if God be for me, then who in the world can be against me? If God has brought us this far, He's going to bring us all the way. Victory was promised to Israel in the Scripture, in the book of Joshua chapter 6. Just a couple of verses of Scripture where the Bible says in verses 15 and 16. And it says this in the Word, and it said, "And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose up early and compassed the dawn of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times." Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. And then the next verse it says this, "And it came to pass on the seventh time that the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city." I don't know how you feel today. Me, Sherry, I don't know how it's going to come about. I have no idea, but I feel something in my heart stirring today that God hath given you the victory, that God has given you the city. I don't know what you're going through, but God says this one thing: don't look at your circumstances. You just shout a praise to me. You shout God's victory over your life today. You cry aloud, for the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. How are you going to face the Jericho walls? You're going to face it with victory. You're going to face it with strength. You're going to face it on a firm foundation. If God be for you, then who can be against you? Somebody shout amen in the house. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It might have looked like a sure defeat for Israel. There's an old song that says, God will do it again. God will do it again. Look at your neighbor and say, God's getting ready to do it again. Come on, somebody. Let's have a church service in here today. Look at your neighbor again and say, God's getting ready to do it again. How many of you have got a do it again situation? I do. But God's going to do it again. Look at your neighbor one more time and say, God's getting ready to do it again. He's going to break forth and He's going to give praise and victory over your life and my life today. God's getting ready to do it again. You think about, how did this happen? It didn't just happen one time. It happened a couple of different times throughout the Old Testament. That God brought victory after victory after victory after victory. Another man we think about, old Gideon. Think about Gideon. I love Gideon. Gideon was called a mighty man of valor. Power and strength was locked up on the inside of him. But God told Gideon, he was down there, and I'm not going to go through the whole story. I don't have time. He was threshing some wheat. He was actually hiding. I think it was the Midianites, if I'm not mistaken, it was there. And then God told him, he said, get up, you mighty man of valor. God's going to use you. There's going to be a great victory wrought through you. Gideon looked over his shoulder and he said, who in the world are you talking about? And the angel said, I'm talking about you. You. I'm talking to you, Gideon. And we can see the whole story where that God, he fleeced God. And God, and again, he fleeced and God again verified the fleece. I still got your back, Gideon. I'm still going to bring a great victory. We see this in the scripture over in the book of Judges where Gideon was promised this. And we see this in the scripture in Judges 7, a couple of verses of scripture, 20 and 21. And we see this, and there were three companies, blew the trumpets and break the pitchers and held the lamps in their hands and the trumpets in their right hand to blow withal. And they cried, look at that word, they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Look at the next verse. And it says, and they stood every man in his place around about the camp. Him. And all the hosts ran and cried and they fled. God wrought a great victory through Gideon and his obedience over the children of God. He says there that they shouted with a great shout. There was a great victory. There was a shout of hallelujah that went across the campus, if you will, on that particular occasion. And they looked around and all the armies that was against them fell at their feet. I'm telling you today that God has given you and me, the Christian, a great victory. And my friend, we can sing that today and we can shout that today, even though yet oft times our faces are saying something different. We've got to believe in our heart that God is going to go before us, and God is fighting every battle in front of us. You say, well, preacher, that's easy for you to say, and it's easy for you to get up there and preach that great message because you never go through nothing, and there's no problems in your life, and it's easy, it's cheesy, and it's just floating through life like fairy tale land. You've got to be out of your ever-loving mind. It's hard for me, it's hard for you, but I'm standing today saying, God, if God be for me, then who can be against me? We need the mentality today that we're going to rejoice in God, that we're going to be a people of praise, a people of victory, that we're going to shout the victory and we're going to shout joy over all of our lives today. Victory, we think about the old song and we sing it often in the church. I've sung it a lot. It says, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. But do we believe it? I told Satan to get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Well, joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy today is mine. Well, I told Satan to get thee behind. Joy today is mine. We sing these songs. And then we quit singing the song and we sit down and we forget about the song. Listen, we got to do this. We're living in a day and an age, Miss Sandra, that we've got to have it right here. That we're going to live in victory every day. I promise you that there will not be a day that you live that you will not have some sort of battle in your life. I promise you that. I deal with it. Sherry deals with it. We deal with it. But my circumstances cannot dictate my heart. My heart is fixed. Oh, Psalm 108, verse number 1, I believe it is, says, my heart is fixed. Which means that word fixed means to be set up as if concrete. My heart is fixed. Don't you love that? I will sing and give praise even with my glory. My heart is fixed. How many people in this room has got a fixed heart? And by that, you've got a determination that the joy of the Lord is going to be your Christmas joy. This year, you've got joy because of Jesus. Hello, somebody. Now, let me dig on through this. Amen. We got victory today because of what Jesus has done for us. Wow, that's a good statement. We got victory today because of what Jesus has done for us. Because of His sacrificial death, burial, and the resurrection. We have victory today because of one thing. The glorious power of our resurrected Lord. Some of you don't believe that today. Some of you wishing that I would hurry up and get done and get out of here and go eat some cheeseburgers or something. But friend of mine, let me tell you something. If we don't get anchored in Jesus, young people that are in this room, hear me. Get anchored in Jesus now. In your young age. If not, you are doomed for failure. If the enemy gets into your life, and if you allow the enemy in your life, you are doomed for failure and defeat. You think, well, you're just a 58-year-old old man. And hey, let me tell you something. 58's not old. I'm a 58-year-old young man. A little bit older than some, and not as old as others. But I've lived long enough to know this one thing. I got a hold of this thing, and I feel Him stirring in my heart right now. I got a hold of this thing when I was 18-year-old, and I'm telling you, friend, He's not let me go for the last 40 years of my life. I've lived this thing day in and day out. I've fought the devil tooth and toenail, so to speak. But I'm telling you what, even though I've went through the valley of the shadow of death, Miss Cindy, He's never left me, and He's never let me down, no matter what I was going through. I know without shadow of a doubt, He was holding on, and I was holding on to Him, because I knew if I ever let go of the hand of God, that it was sure defeat and sure failure. Victory today. Victory today happened 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. I'm not at a loss of words. I'm just enjoying His presence. Hallelujah. You think you Pentecostal people are too loud, you're too emotional. Let me tell you something, friend. This thing was birthed in a far, and it's going to go up in a far. If I can't be happy and rejoice and be joyful about what I'm preaching today, I need to go to Burger King and flip burgers. Come on, somebody. I pray to God this thing gets a hold of us like a... I almost said something terrible, my goodness. We worry about viruses. We worry about... I'm not making light of it. I'm not making light of it. People are suffering with it. But I just pray that the Holy Ghost get a hold of us like a virus and won't let us go. I mean the God of glory, the God of heaven get a hold of us. You try to outrun Him, and everywhere you turn, everything you do, you bump into goodness and mercy, for they're following you all the days of your life. And I don't mean it ugly. I don't mean to say it the way it sounds. But I want God to jerk a knot in my hind end if I step out of line with Him. Come on, somebody. I want Him to jerk me back in. Joyful. Be joyful. Be in victory. We think about this in 1 John. We think about Him giving us the victory. And He says this in the word of the Lord. And we look at it. And this is what the word of the Lord said. He said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. I didn't mean to scare the baby. The baby's fine. Listen up here. Baby, crying babies means growth. Don't bother me. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. God says, you're an overcomer. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm looking at an overcomer. That person next to you, I am looking at an overcomer. I'm sorry. It's in my heart. We have lived in the church in a defeat mentality long enough. We have lived in a defeat mindset for more than 2 years now. I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again because I feel like I need to. We were told it's going to be a long, dark winter last year, and it was. And this a couple of weeks ago, we were told you might as well get used to it because you're not going to get everything you want for Christmas this year. It's not going to be available to you. And the only thing I can say is boo-hoo. As long as I got Jesus, to God be glory and to God be praised. Hallelujah. What I need today is not hung up on a ship off the coast of San Francisco, but what I need today is in my heart. His name is Jesus, and He's enough for me. Somebody say amen. He is enough for me. Oh, victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh. I like that word. Overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. If you put your faith and confidence in the things of this world, it is sure failure. It is sure disappointment. And it is sure defeat. Oh, but God, if I put my trust in Him, I am more than a conqueror. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Woo! Hallelujah, anyhow. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Let me hurry. Let me hurry. Hallelujah. I'm making the devil so mad at me right now. Oh, he thought he had me, Miss Sherry. But the anointing makes a difference. Y'all have no idea. Y'all have no idea. But thank God, He'll make you just leap over a wall, run through the truth. They'll look at you and go, what's going on with him? I've done and got a hold of something. Hallelujah. 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 It didn't come in a jar and it didn't come out of a jug. Come on, somebody. It didn't come from a snort. It didn't come from this or that. It come from Jesus. If you don't know him, you need to try him. Hallelujah. He'll give you the victory. He will give you the victory. Oh, glory to God anyhow. He that overcometh the world, but he that believeth in Jesus is the Son of God. That the joy, true joy, my friend, comes from Jesus. That the joy of knowing who Jesus is gives us our strength. Did you hear that? The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord. Not what you're going through, not your circumstances, but the joy of Jesus. Christmas joy. Christmas joy. Just knowing who Jesus is. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches us because of what God has done for us. Again, I don't have time to talk about everything I'd like to talk about. But through His Son, Christ Jesus, we have this joy. I stake my claim on Jesus today. The devil thought he had you. The devil thought he had me. How many times? How many times? How many times? And Sherry knows me better than anybody in this room. And I have felt so defeated at times. Because of circumstances and situations around me, I felt like I had my back flat on the floor and the devil was over me doing the three count. And I believe that the three counts has already almost been there at times. And the three count was already almost ready to smack the floor. And then God brings us through. The Bible teaches us in Thessalonians, in a very short scripture there in the book of Thessalonians, and this is what he says for us. To rejoice evermore. To rejoice evermore. Why do we rejoice? Why do we have joy? Because we understand in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 6, I think I got that wrong, but or wrote it down different. But anyway, it says there in verse 6. Thank you, Kathy. rejoice evermore. So when are you supposed to rejoice? The Bible says to let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You're going to go through some trials. I'm going to go through some trials. I wrote this outline out several days ago, working through some stuff. But even since I've wrote this outline out, there've been hiccups in the system. There've been glitches here and glitches there. Look in Psalm 30. This is what it says in verses 5 and then 11 and 12. This is what he says in the scripture. Did I have that one? Did I miss that one? Oh, I can turn there real fast. Psalm 30. It's really simple. Looking at verse number 5, says this: For his anger endureth but for a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Things may be bad for the moment. This is talking about the wrath and the anger of God. I understand that. But it seems as if you're going through things. But it's temporary. Come on, somebody. Verse 11 says, Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off sackcloth, my sackcloth, and girded me with gladness. Look in verse 12. To the end that my glory or my honor may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I give thanks unto thee forever. Really fast. I know that this is true. That this time of the year is extremely difficult for some. I understand that. I heard a story as I was studying this week. I read a story. I didn't hear it, but I read it. And it tells of a woman who was busy doing her last minute Christmas shopping. She was there at a crowded mall, and I don't know if you've all been to the mall. I have no idea. I try not to go to those places. But it was crowded, and she was fighting the crowds, and she was tired of standing in the lines, and she was tired of fighting her way down long aisles looking for gifts that had been sold out for many days. Extremely frustrated, and her arms was filled with bulky packages, if you will, and all of a sudden she was getting on an elevator. The elevator door opened and it was full of shoppers just like her. The occupants of the elevator grudgingly tightened up to allow the small space for her and all of her load. And as the door closed, she blurted out in her frustration, "Whoever thought of this and is responsible for this whole Christmas thing ought to be arrested, strung up, and shot." And a few of the other people nodded their heads and they grunted in agreement with her. But yet from a small corner of the elevator come a small voice that said, "Oh, don't worry. They've already crucified him." And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Without Jesus this Christmas, we wouldn't have the joy. Joy was one of those things that was pronounced over the whole city when the young church of Acts 8, and I don't know if I gave them this or not, but this whole thing, there was great joy in the whole city. The Bible says there's about Jesus. The Bible says there's joy in heaven over one sinner that comes to repentance. John 15 and 11 says that your joy may be full, that your life be filled with His joy. But when I thought about this couple of verses at the end, is where the angels in Luke 2, I'm not going to turn there, but because I read that scripture all the time at Christmas time, where the whole heavens was filled with angels. And the angelic creatures that God had created to praise Him filled all the skies as the shepherds was there. And they cried, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." We sing the song, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." But the only real joy that we can find is in Jesus. Today I beg of you and I ask of you, make sure that you've got your heart right with the Lord Jesus at this Christmas time. That's where real joy is coming from. That's where real peace is coming from. One day you'll be rewarded according to your works. The Bible says, according to your works, you'll be rewarded. At the bema seat of God, you'll be rewarded. Or you'll be turned away at the great white throne judgment. Two different things, two different events. But in this he said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." You ever thought about heaven? I don't want to miss it. Hello? I don't want to miss heaven. I seen a post on Facebook the other day and said, there's nothing in this world worth you going to hell over. I preached a message one time. I preached it here. And I don't want to be misinterpreted when I say this, but I said the title of that message was simply this: what in hell do you want? What in hell do you want? What are you so dead set on missing heaven over that you'll end up there? What are you going there after? What is there for you? Pain, torment, suffering, gnashing of teeth, where the worm dieth not, fire and brimstone. Why would you want to do that? Somebody said, "Well, I want to live it up. I want to live my life. I want to sow my wild oats." Well, them wild oats sprout roots and they bring other things with it. Some things you don't want. Some things will get on you that Ajax won't get off. Come on, somebody. I'm just plain, people. I'm sorry. I'm just plain. Maybe I'm too plain. I don't know any other way to do it. Look at heaven. Again, if I was going to go back in, I could go into Matthew and I could go into Luke. And I could talk about Christmas joy where that she wrapped her firstborn child in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And all the heavenly host. You know there's coming another day when Jesus steps out. We hear that midnight cry song. When Jesus steps out, are you going to be like the foolish or are you going to be like the wise? The foolish virgins or the wise? Are you going to be ready? Are you going to be prepared? I want to hear him say, "Well done. Enter in to the joy of the Lord." I yearn for heaven. Don't you? Somebody said, "Are you ready to die?" Yeah, I'm ready to die. Somebody said, "Well, I'm not ready to go." Well, there's a difference. And some people, like Raymond, said, "Well, I'm ready to go too." Me and Raymond pick on each other about that a lot. Got to be ready. Got to keep your heart right with God. Why don't we stand together? I could ramble on another few minutes, but I'll let you go your way. Before I pray, and before we pray, what are you going to do with the gift of salvation? Are you going to receive it? Have you received it? Or are you going to say, "God, I don't want that today"? That was last week's message. Before I pray and we conclude, let me remind you of tonight. 5 o'clock. Look at your neighbor and say, "It's at 5 o'clock. It's at 5 o'clock. The gym will be open 4 o'clock on, bring your food, get ready, have a good time, maybe some punch. I don't know everything that we got over there. I have no clue. Coffee, whatever. But right now, bow your heads with me. Lord, we love you today. Lord, I done what I felt like you gave me. To share what I shared was what I felt like you gave me. Lord, I know that happiness is based on happenings, events, situations, circumstances. But true joy is based on you. Father, around this room, even right now, if there be those that seem to be without joy, could it be because they don't know who Jesus the Christ is? They don't have joy because they don't have Jesus. Lord, we open up our hearts to you today. And we just ask you, Father, to touch every person, every individual that's here even right now. Every family, every person. That God, you said in your word to restore unto us the joy of our salvation. And Lord, we rejoice in our Savior, Jesus. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I just don't know if I'm really ready to be with God. I just don't really know if my heart is where it needs to be. I heard you, Pastor. I heard what you said. But I just need that joy. My joy, Jesus said. My joy. The only way that we can have that joy is through Him. That is the provider and the giver of that joy. And Father, I pray, God, that you would touch that heart today. Every person, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Because, God, we want this joy. The joy that comes from Jesus at Christmas time. Through the birth of your dear Son. And Father, I pray that even now, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, no one looking around, that if you're here today and you want that joy in your heart and you don't have it, just simply raise your hand and say, Pastor, it's me. I need that joy today. Anyone else? Anyone else before we pray? Anyone else? For those of you that raised your hands, the Bible says, seek me and search for me and you will find me. When you seek me with all of your heart, turn all of your heart to Him and receive this Christmas joy in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for these that raise their hands. I pray for these that stand even right now saying, Lord, I need you. That God, that you would give them this joy. Because this joy that I'm talking about only comes through you. And for the rest of us, we rejoice in the Lord our God that has sustained us and given us joy to face the circumstances of this life. And we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, the altars are open. If you want to come and pray, if you want me to pray with you, please come. If not, God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see.